You're listening to the Tilehurst End Podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tilehurst End Podcast, the podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans. And it is a delight on this warm summer's evening, hopefully it is as this podcast goes out, to welcome a returning guest of the show and certainly a returning favourite of the Medeski Stadium as well. It is Jose Gomez. Jose, how are you this fine evening?
Hi, how are you? I'm okay. Thank you.
Brilliant to hear. So it's, as I say, it's a lovely summer's evening. It's the sort of evening you'd settle down with a nice glass of Portuguese wine, perhaps it's something from the Douro. And how are you enjoying this evening, Jose?
Yeah, just a big day, fantastic day, good weather, fantastic food. And now before dinner, I went to run a bit. So I'm sorry, I said a bit, but fantastic time.
Absolutely. You're allowed to swear as much as you want on the podcast. That is the beauty of it. So how has your summer been then? Obviously, we're a few weeks out of the season now. How have you been? You've been relaxing after the busy season?
Yeah, mainly relaxing, enjoying the Europe League, the Euro Cup, and also watch some South America games, and especially in Brazil. It's impossible to turn off our football life. You know, we are always connected with something, and we can watch players that we didn't know. And it's quite relaxed time, very interesting, because I'm doing things now that usually as a manager I cannot do. So I spend more time with my family. I'm taking care of things that usually I can't, because we are always traveling, and so it's nice time. Okay, at the same time, special opposite feeling, you know. I won't start again, but I'm enjoying this thing.
Absolutely, a new season, a new dawn, hopefully for Reading. We'll talk a bit later on about the current state of Reading, but for yourself and your time at the club, obviously joined in the midway through the 2018-2019 season there for 38 games, which is a good, basically a season over the course of two seasons. And if one word could sum up your time at Reading, what would it be?
Amazing. 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 Why? Because when I arrived, you know, we already talked about it. When I arrived, terrible moments. No hope at all. In everybody, players, board directors, fans, local journalists, and we built something special with everybody around, not only with the technical staff and the players, you know, with everybody. And the feeling in the end of the season was that we conquer something together. So that's why I say, my feeling, if I choose a just one word, amazing time that I spent over there.
Yeah, you mentioned there that what you walked into, especially you found on quite one of your first games as a 4-1 defeat to Swansea. Was there a sense of what have I walked into? And did you see quite early on the size of the task that you had with Reading?
Yeah, I knew that it wasn't an easy situation. And I already knew it because the points talk by themselves. So everybody knows how hard is the championship. It's a very tough competition, very balanced. All the results can happen. And in the bad moments when we don't win and we were in the bottom of the table, and very special moments, very tough moments that we just passed the challenge because we create a very strong team spirit. And it was incredible as a coach, as a manager, to feel and to help, to feel the way that we build this team spirit and feeling at the same time that I was helping my players and I was helping the club. It was really incredible.
Yeah, those players we'll talk about again, that'll be in just a bit. But for those results that Reading picked up over the back end of the 18-19 season that propelled Reading to safety. I'm thinking of Ipswich away and Wigan at home. And what are your memories of those two games in particular, with the kind of relegation dogfight battles that went Reading's way?
No, the feeling that I mentioned, it's not only with that special games. This happened during all the period because we never finished the situation. We were always there in the dogfight. We were under this situation all the time. So each time that we conquer one point and we could breathe a bit better, it was a special feeling. And some games with better feelings than others, but as you mentioned, but it's difficult to split these games from all the others.
Yeah, you mentioned that we talk about the Ipswich game in particular. I remember being in the away end.
Yes,
last minute winner for Mo Barrow. And I remember watching you on after the celebrations. And that was one of the few moments as a manager you get to really release your energy, isn't it? And you see it all come out then, don't you?
Yeah, because you know we were deserving to win this game. We in the different moments of the game, we could score, and we were playing better. We played much better, in my opinion. We create a lot of situations and we miss. And when you feel that the opponent was happy drawing the game, and you were losing, and after you turn the result, and in the last seconds, you get the 3 points in your hand. You know, it's like open the door for showing all your feelings. And I don't remember what I did. I know that I walk around, but the fans, the connection between me and the fans in that moment was really special. Yeah.
Yeah, and we managed to end that season on a really high note with Portugal Day and all the flags and everything like that. When did you realise that you had a connection with the Reading fans?
It was, you know, step by step, but they were always very friendly with me since I arrived. Okay, in the beginning, they didn't know me, and they didn't know if they could trust or not. But game by game and day by day, we start creating this connection. And also, at the same time, I played a lot of academy players. I think until now is the record, the club record in the season, and they like it. That point of view that I have in the club, because you know, in Reading, a very good academy that we had in that moment, very good academy, very good players, and I start playing the players that deserve it, and they work it with me. And I think that point also helped to improve the connection between me and the fans. But definitely was in the moment that we start breathing as a team, and when the game started, they knew that they could trust in that team, you know, because before I arrived, as I said, no hope at all. So they couldn't trust. They thought that they already relegated, and when they start feeling that, well, some light, you know, kind of light, maybe this guy can help us to turn the situation. And game by game, I start feeling that we have a very good connection, and finish the way that you mentioned with the Portugal Day. It was incredible as well.
Yeah, definitely. One player then, Michael Olise, who you gave his debut to. When you arrived at the club, he was, you know, obviously very, very young, not a name that the fans had necessarily heard of. And then by the time you left, he was already being seen as, you know, a big star of the future. When did you first notice him, and when did you realize how good a player he was going to be?
When we arrived, we start watching the academy games, and two players, they were a bit different from the others. You could feel something different, you know, I mean, technically. And one of the players was Josh Barrett, and the other Michael Olise. And I asked that I wanted this player training with me. I would like to see them in my practice. And in the beginning, they said that for different reasons, they didn't deserve. I believe that they don't deserve, and I don't want to break the rules in the academy system, but I want to see these kids because I think they have something special. When Josh Barrett arrived, I don't want to damage his picture because I really love him as a fantastic kid, but maybe 8-7 kilos more. You know, so he was above his weight, and he needed to make extra work to. And I told him, "Look, you are training very well, but you have no conditions to play. So if you reduce your body fat for this number," and I gave him a number, "maybe I will put you on my list for the game."
Yeah.
"And if you reduce more, maybe you start the game." And the kid, he was sick because he stopped to eat, you know. But he did a fantastic work, and I played him as well.
Yeah.
And Michael Ollis, the problem was with the school, you know. I missed the classes. He just is in his head only football. And I talk with the academy director, "Look, I understand that we must keep these rules in the academy, but let the kids stay with me because, okay, they are young and they need to prepare their future, and they must study. But I want football players, you know. So, okay, it's better if he study, but if he doesn't, and if he can do properly these tasks as a football player, and they can give a properly answer in the game and in the trainings, for me it's not a big issue." And when the kid arrived in the first training, you know, they just touch him, and he was always in the ground and complaining. And each time that they complain, I said to his colleagues to kick him more and to, you know, turn his situation even tougher.
Yeah.
But I gave him my hand, you know. I said, "Okay, come here." And I help him a lot. I think he has the same opinion because sometimes they don't understand. But I think he understood that I help him because I always push him, and sometimes I was very tough the way that I talk with him, because I felt that he was a special player, because he's very fast. Technically, he's incredible. He can do things, magic things, in the very high speed that mostly of the players, they cannot do in the same place. Fantastic shoot. He can use both legs. He dribble for the right and for the left with the same quality. So he's special. He's special. So his body is, in that time, he wasn't strong enough. He did a special, doing a special strength plan, and he improved a lot. He improved a lot, and he deserved it to play. He played, and he played more than one time. Not because I was stupid and I wanted just to put the kids from the academy, but because he deserved it to play. He's an incredible player. I think if the people around him help him to keep him focused in these tasks as a football player, he can be in the 2-3 years in the top team.
Yeah, obviously he's gone off to Crystal Palace now, and another player that's gone off is Omar Richards to Bayern Munich. Those two players, how do you see them getting on at really, certainly for Richards as well, a really top-level club?
Yes, Omar, yeah, fantastic. Omar Richards is, when I arrived, he already was in a different level because he was playing, he played a lot of games before I arrived. He always showed different levels, even during the same game. He was able to show fantastic things, and 1 minute later or 30 seconds later, a terrible thing. So he just needed to improve his focus, and the word is consistency, as Michael Ollis, but Ollis was younger. So Omar Richards, when he played one game with this consistency, he was an incredible player, very high level. Because he's fast. You know that he played before as a number 10. He played as a number 10, he played as a winger. So playing as a fullback, that you just have for, if he's in the left side, in the his left side, nothing happened. So only from the right, is much more easier to play. If you play as a number 10, is everything happen around. So it's more difficult. So he was used to play with different level of challenge, and playing as a left back it was very easy for him, especially if he plays three on the back and he play as a wing back. For him, it was very, very easy, and he is able to play in any level, any team. Absolutely. Because technically, he's very good.
Yeah, and one other player that I want to talk about in terms of the young players is Danny Loader, who was obviously very highly tipped before he came into the club. Didn't quite have as big an impact on the team as the, you know, the two, Michael and Omar, we've just spoken about. What was the situation there? Was that partly because of it, obviously his contract situation?
No.
How did it work out with Danny
Loader? No. I talked with him as well not only with the young players, I like to talk with them and talk about the way that they are performing and why happen good things and why happen bad things. And Danny Loader, it was a strange and impressive situation, and I explain why. Because he has everything that Josh Barrett, Michael Ollis, and Omar Isher in that time they couldn't have. I'm talking about the focus. So he was very professional. Very, you just think about football. If you make him a plan, he respect the plan 100%. Fantastic, top professional. But he was so focused, and so his focus was so intense that disturbed a bit his capacity to play in the relaxing way. So sometimes he was nervous. He couldn't show himself 100% as a football player. He couldn't show how strong he was, because he's very strong. He's able to cover the ball. Also, when he doesn't have success in one action, he starts losing his confidence. And sometimes look at that. I trust more in him than himself, you know. So he needed to improve this side, the confidence in himself, because he has all the skills. Shoot with the right, shoot with the left. The way that he covered the ball under pressure is fantastic. Very good with the head. But in the game, a lot of times he couldn't show himself in his maximum, because if he show himself in his maximum, it's a fantastic player.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's a really interesting insight into how it's a mental game as much as anything else, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how you've got to produce at the big moments, and that is ultimately what as we've probably seen with the Euros, that's what separates the very, very top, isn't it?
Exactly.
For yourself, for the second half of that season, in the last 18 games, Reading lost just 4 times, drew quite a few times. And was this a deliberate plan for yourself in terms of some coaches come in have a philosophy and they want to instill a particular style of football. Other coaches perhaps a bit more pragmatic and, you know, are very results heavy over style and all that sort of stuff. Would you describe yourself as more of a pragmatist in that sense?
Look, we are not a closed box as a coach, as a manager, as a person. So we're suffering influences for everywhere, and we are growing. If you are ready for it, if you want it, if you want to grow, you always grow. I'm learning every day. So maybe now I'm more ready to be pragmatic than 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Maybe 10 years ago, I didn't accept to change even a small detail of my philosophy. And maybe now I arrive in the new club and maybe I said, okay, if I have these players, I cannot destroy these clubs and these players and this team. Because if I follow my philosophy 100%, these players are not able to fit my philosophy. So it's better to be pragmatic and adapt this my ideas to the players that I have, you know. And it sounds a so logical sentence, but sometimes as a manager, you just want to follow your ideas and don't run away 1 millimeter from your ideas. But sometimes this doesn't work, and it's impossible to work sometimes because the players are not able, they don't feel comfortable to play 100% as under your philosophy.
Yeah, one of the things that was so key on that season as well with the loanees that arrived in the summer, we had Emi Martinez, who obviously has just won Copa America, which was so brilliant to see, and Ovi Ejaria as well. How those two particular players in particular and the loanees, how important were they to staying up that season?
Yeah, I think the five players that arrived in January, they had a massive impact. Emi, because you know what you saw, you watch what he did. He passed confidence and to all the other players. So he was good playing with his feet. He's very good in the cross, in the air challenge. Very fast and quick in his actions and a goal. And very positive person, you know, he's positive. In the morning, first guy to arrive because he was living a bit far and he preferred to drive earlier. And he arrived very earlier, one of the first to arrive, taking his breakfast always with a smile in his face and very positive with everybody. He helped a lot. To create this team spirit that I mentioned before. He was very important in, together with the captains. He was very important to help building up this spirit. And Ovi Ejaria, not because he talked with all the others, because he stay in his corner and he doesn't talk with anybody. Sometimes he says something and everybody laughs. He's very intelligent guy. But the things that he is able to do on the pitch, I love him. I love him because sometimes we do the way that he controls the ball, he dribble, he control and he's dribbling at the same time. So he creates spaces with his first touch. The way that he control, he's already creating spaces. I would like that he was able to shoot stronger. He's not very strong in this action, but is incredible the way that he thinks the game. Sometimes you are watching from outside and say, okay, if he control the ball there, he has an open pass line to the right, but he control to the left, and you think, what is doing? And in the controlling to the left, he open a pass line and let the his colleague in the face to the goal, in the face of the goal. So it's the way that he thinks football is fantastic, fantastic, top player. Works a lot. He's the player that he run, work is incredible. And technically, he sometimes looks like that his legs growing when he makes his actions. I really love him. But all the others, that these five players that arrive in January, Nelson Oliveira as well, and he showed, I don't know if you remember, when they stepped in his face.
That's in Tyrone, one game. Tyrone they rings
they
as
broke
well,
in his
it?
Nose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, remember, they broke his nose in six places. He was not able for the medical report to play. He was not able to play. He asked, he pushed everybody, please, I want to use a mask, I want to play. And he played and he scored. It was for the team was important because, you know, it's this guy, it's not easy to find a player that a few days ago broke a nose in six different parts and wanted to play. And he was not a Reading player, but he wanted as well as Emi Martinez and Ovi and Miazga.
And Baker as well.
And Baker, they wanted to use the minutes yeah. to play. They wanted to play. They wanted to help Reading, but they wanted to play. So they wanted to give their maximum. All of them have a fantastic impact.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Tyrone Rings? Never really heard about that guy since.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Some of the other members of the squad, perhaps a less brilliant relationship with, the likes of Gaffer Cleary and Chris Gunter, ended up kind of being, certainly in that summer, put in a semi-reserve squad. I wonder was this a decision that you ultimately took, and was it something that really worked in kind of, you know, the club was managing the finances as well?
Yes. Look, before I talk with them, and I talk with them after 2 days or 3 days after finished the league. I didn't talk with them just during the next season or during the preseason. I talk with them when finished the league. And I just told him the truth. I spoke with my board directors. They showed me the plan. They said, look, financially, the situation is this. We have these players. We must reduce the number of players. The budget for these players is this. We must reduce and we must put these players in another clubs. And with this money, maybe we can bring this and it and that player. So the plan is remove these players from the squad. I said, look, okay, but they are very important because they have a big history in the club and they deserve the maximum respect. So I want to talk with them. I want to talk with them explaining the situation. And when finished the league, I talk with all of them and they one by one. And I told them the things that we agreed together, technical staff and board directors and everybody. It was the norm. It's the normal life in football. But what happened between the end of that season and the beginning of the other season? They didn't find any other club for their career. So we had a problem in that time. What we want to do with these players? And the decision was, okay, we keep our idea because it was a team decision. So board directors and technical staff, because we talk about financial situation as well. So we prolonged that situation, trying with their agents. Maybe sometimes this happened in the end of the market, some opportunities just arrive in the last days. But that opportunity didn't come, and when so they stayed there, and when I left, looked like the I was the bad guy, but is the that's why the responsibility of the problems also always come to the managers. The shoulders and no problem. I can deal well enough with this problem because I always respect them. I have a good relation with my conscience. I talk with them. I told them the truth. I explained everything. I always respect during the time that we work together, and I don't have any problem with any player, even the players that you mentioned.
Yeah, I wanted to ask how bad, I don't know how much of the picture you knew, but in terms of the finances, how bad were they? Because Reading were supposedly under a soft embargo or some sort of championship embargo for most of that summer, weren't really able to sign anyone. And then almost overnight signed George Puskas and Lucas Schau for what seems like quite a lot of money. And how did that come about?
Yeah, look, this is... I understand the question, but this is a issue above the manager tasks. You know, I'm there to give my technical opinion. In the football days right now, years by year, season by season, the financial issue is more and more with the financial director, and we just need to accept and build the squad with the numbers that we have. So I cannot explain because I don't know. I just know that I went to Marbella with 15 under 23s, and I start the season with 8 professional players. Not well, all of them are professional, but I mean from the main squad,
yeah.
6 or 8 players. And I was ready to start the league with these under 23 players. But in the end, as you mentioned, they solved the problem and they open again the legal thing, and they allowed us to register players again.
Going into the new season, and what were the expectations? Was it a case of looking towards the playoffs and promotion? Well, obviously, we just come off a pretty difficult survival season. And as you say, there wasn't a huge wealth of experience in that squad. What were the kind of expectations?
No, the idea was the promotion. But how could we think about the promotion if okay, it's not... I'm not giving the right value to the players, but from the academy players, but we cannot say that we will fight for the promotion starting the season, the preseason, with 15 under 23s. It's not a logical situation. But the thing is, in the end, who is working daily with the players is the manager and with his staff. And if the manager wants the idea A, is no logical at all to bring players that just fit the idea C. So, for example, if I have a striker and I like to play, put the ball out, play in the wings, play wide, receive inside, and frontal pass. So I need a striker and that's able to play with the feet and make combinations with the midfielders, and try to find pass lines and rupture movements in the defensive line in the center. I cannot sign a striker that it just score if you cross, okay? And he's not able to play with the midfielders. He has not a combination game because he is not able to use his feet when he drop a bit on the pitch. What I want to mean is we need to, I'm not saying that, okay, if I don't have Roger, I don't want to be the manager. No. I mean the profile, you know. I need a player fast, good technical ability, able to start building up, good pass, strong in the air challenge. Okay, if doesn't come Roger, can come Paul or Michael, okay? But the same profile. If you bring a player that is not able to make these actions and he doesn't feel comfortable, if I ask him to do this, it's like spending money in the wrong way. So everybody must work as a team. The players, the technical staff, the board directors, the sport director, the owner, everybody. We cannot talk, when we talk about one club, we cannot mention persons. It's a club, it's a team. If we start splitting the departments, the missions, the tasks, oh, the responsible is this guy, the responsible is that guy, we are creating a problem inside. So if you want success in the team, in the club, everybody needs to work as a team. Everybody needs to feel the same way. Everybody needs to push in the same direction. And that's the point that is more and more difficult year by year in this football in other days.
Yeah, it seems like certainly I remember one of my memories of that season was the lack of wingers. As you mentioned there, that we sold Mo Barrow, we were kind of using Yaku Mase and Ajari as wingers who aren't traditionally the sort of wingers that you mentioned there, maybe the players you can get crosses into the box that a player like Puskas, for example, might need to thrive on. And I wonder, as you talk about the team there that comes up with these decisions, how many of the decisions in terms of running the club ultimately fell with the owner or the ownership team and came down from above?
Look, I think I understand your question, and if I was in your position, maybe I will do the same kind of questions because I'm curious to know it. But I think it's not nice to, after all this time, to talk about it. You know, the things happen, the things happen that way. I wrote my history with my players in that time. The things happen the second season in a very strange way, but they decided what was better in their opinion for the club. Again, Reading is has a potential, a fantastic potential. You know, the training center, the facilities, the passion that Mr. Dai, the owner, leaves the club and his vision. The distance from London, so it's a lot of important clubs around that can help and let talent players loan if Reading needs to help. It's a fantastic project. I love to work over there. So, and my respect with the club don't allow me to say after all this time, say bad things about the people and the club, you know. The things happen the way that happen, but I just want to return to England, and I have fantastic relation with everybody, even with some people that in that time I thought in a different way than them, you know. It's normal, but I respect them, I talk with them. Some of them are my friends, And I think it's not nice from my side to talk, say, you know, okay, the things happen, and now turn the page. And I just want to see Reading in the Premier League and to see Reading work properly and organized way, feeling that everybody's pushing in the same direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think your curiosity, I think, is the word there, as to fans like me trying to work.
I understand.
You know, trying to work out how the club works and all this sort of stuff. It is absolutely, I suppose, obsession probably is maybe not be the right word. So let's talk about the club currently then, in terms of how, I'm wanting to ask how much you watched the last season. Obviously, it was a really good playoff run that didn't quite come off. Is that for Reading, sorry, the playoff run that they have in the Championship
season. Is it a
team that you do look out for, the club, the results of, and were you, you know, as you said, a club that is a Premier League club in a lot of ways, is it the sort of season that you almost expected them to have?
Yeah, Reading was the after my result, my games, I always tried to find the Reading results and which players played. It is normal because my connection with the club was very strong, and even working in Portugal first and after in Spain, I always wanted to, when it was possible, watch Reading game, and if it wasn't possible, at least know the result as soon as possible. It's the same. This, when you have a friend that is performing in something, you want to know the result of your friend, and it's the same thing. Reading is a special club for me, and I always want to know the results, the Reading results.
Absolutely. And if just a couple more questions, because it's been really interesting chatting with you this evening. It's been great to have you on for a second time, obviously, because we spoke early on in your tenure as well. And I wanted to ask, because in terms of your time in Reading as a town and everything, I wanted to know, were there any kind of favourite haunts, any restaurants or bars that you particularly loved going to in Reading?
Look, remember the names is, I'm very bad. Names and dates, I'm terrible. You know, we the first Christmas night, that is, and we didn't know any restaurant, anything in Reading when we arrived. And in Portugal is a family day that you spend with all your family, eating typical codfish with all your family. We spend that dinner, me and my technical staff, in the ZZ restaurant in the center, eating lamb and drinking Argentine wine. So not because the restaurant, that is nice, but not because the restaurant, but because the moment. It was all of us, we remember that we passed there the Christmas, because it's a very important moment for us in our traditions. But in the end of the channel, with a balcony just in the channel, I forgot the name of the restaurant, fantastic food. I went there a lot of times. And when I have more time in the typical 20 kilometers from Reading, we found a Portuguese restaurant in Henley.
Henley, oh yes, of course, yeah.
In Henley, just near the bridge, the fantastic restaurant with Portuguese food, very good fish, very good seafood. So it's when we could, with more time, we went there and a lot of times. In the center was the restaurant, but I forgot the name. It's a very good restaurant.
Sounds to me like you might be talking about London Street Brasserie, but there's a lot of...
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah. Exactly.
That very good food.
Absolutely. You bang on. I thought you might have said Nando's, but that's okay if you're not going to...
No.
A couple more questions, really. Is that the Almeria experience was your last coaching experience. One of the things, obviously, you've spoken about that on a lot in the media and everything, but one of the things I wanted to ask about was one of your assistants, I believe, was a man called Andre Bique, who was a Reading player back in 06, 07 sort of days. And how did that come about? How did you manage find him to come join
you? He was my player in Portugal with 18 years old. And I kept a good relation, you know, as Michael Ollis, you know, I work with him, I help him. After he went to Russia and he played in Shinik, we kept in contact all the time. And he was playing now in India. So, you know, just 6 months, you know, the Indian league. And he was trying to did the first coach license, and I invite him to join my staff because I know him as a person. He has a great experience as a player, football player. He born in Cameroon, so he speak French. He married with very young because he came from Cameroon to Barcelona, to Espanyol de Barcelona. And he met a girl, his wife until now. So he speaks Spanish. He speak English because, you know, he play a long period. I don't know how many seasons, but a lot of seasons in England. He has experience as a central back and a defensive midfielder. So he has he's just coming from football player. And he for him, it's very easy to talk with other players. And, you know, it was a very helpful member in my staff. I think we help each other because I help him growing as a coach, and he helped me in all the tasks that I needed him to talk with some players. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy with him. The same way that I was very happy with John Oshie, but Mike. BK, I know him for a long time, so it was advantage for me.
Yeah, John O'Shea actually has just left Reading as well, so hopefully we'll see more of him in football as he moves on to pastures new. And for yourself as well, I suppose really the last thing to ask as we sit here ahead of a new season, and of course you left Almeria at the end of last season, what is next for Jose Gomez?
Well, I don't know. In the beginning, looked that something very good will happen, but for things that maybe in the few weeks I will understand didn't happen. So it's better stay waiting than start in the bad project. So I'm enjoying, as I said, this time, this special time. Without pre-seasons, without thinking in the team without my normal tasks, enjoying my family and things that usually I cannot do. So it's a football manager life, you know, it's our life. Sometimes we are in, sometimes not, but I'm ready to start again. And I know that something very good will happen in the future for sure.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you back in the dugout before long. And it has been really fascinating having you on this evening. Brilliant. Thank you. And as I say, best of luck for the future. And it was great to have a chat tonight.
Thank you. Fantastic. I love to talk with you as well.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.